Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSP Magazine. You're listening to a new Delta X podcast with Ellen Hsu. These are conversations with changemakers, innovators, and self-starters who have made their mark on the world at a young age, breaking down the journeys of those who are changing the status quo and building the future today. Knowledge is power, now more than ever.
Today's podcast has a super exciting guest. Many of you guys listening may have already heard of him before, and chances are you've probably used his website before. Today's guest is Avi Schiffman, a high school student from Washington who built one of the biggest websites for worldwide information on the spread of the novel coronavirus at ncov2019.live. Serving as the first COVID-19 tracker since January of 2020, it has attracted hundreds of millions of users to the site and used by many epidemiologists to track the spread of COVID-19 as well. In addition to his coronavirus tracker, Schiffman has made more than 30 other websites and has been named Person of the Year at the 2020 Webby Awards. So welcome, Avi.
Thank you so much for having me.
Could you tell us a little bit more about what got you into website building and leading up to building nCoV19 Live?
Yeah, sure. So I've been computer programming for about 10 years, but I haven't always really been making websites. I've kind of just been doing a little bit of everything. And elementary school, I don't even know what I was doing, really random stuff. I have actually a website I made. I have a disk of all the code on it still from a website I coded in early elementary school. It's all about stick figures. It's a little ridiculous.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then in middle school, I was making video games and I sold a couple of them online on different websites like Indie Games. I went to some game developer conferences and shared them. And then as I got closer to high school, I got really interested in mobile app development and then more serious into web development. And I just started learning how to do all kinds of things, more advanced stuff than I was doing in like middle school and things. So, you know, learning how to use things like APIs, backend things, all that complicated stuff. I just was able to teach myself through YouTube and all that, what that kind of stuff. And that all led up to the coronavirus site. So in early January of 2020, which I can't believe it's been over a year by now. It really is crazy. I had a friend that was living in China and he was telling me about how his city was going into lockdown and there was like this new virus. And it was really hard to find the information. I tried to find information about this virus and the only place I could go to get up-to-date numbers was going straight to the source of Chinese health department government websites, but they like don't work on mobile. They take forever to load. It's also like kind of sketch. I don't speak Chinese well, so it wasn't like Google Translate wasn't very helpful. It was kind of a whole mess. And then there was also the occasional news article, but those were mostly out of date by the time I read them anyways. And they weren't dynamically updating and they're filled with annoying ads. So I thought it was a little ridiculous. And I just wanted to test some new skills I was working on, mainly something called web scraping, which is the way Google works actually to index sites, basically download everything on the page and save it and do whatever you want with it. So I just wanted to learn how to do some more advanced things. And I made a dashboard in the next few days just to simplify and centralize all the information. I made it, you know, work easy on a phone. It loads very fast. You know, the colors and there's no like paragraphs of nonsense. It's just like straight to the source. Like if you want the information, it's right there. For example, if you visit the site on a mobile device, the first thing you see is just the total confirmed cases, total deceased, total recovered. All the information you need is right there at a glance. You don't have to go hunting through multiple government sites. Every single country, like a lot of breakdowns of, for example, the United States, every single US state or all that kind of stuff is all in one place that you can easily visit. And back then when I made my site, it was really hard to find this information. Now it's a bit easier. You can just search on Google, you know, how many coronavirus cases are there. But even then, the sites, I think, are still pretty bad. And more than just being better, too, I have over 240 individual unique web scrapers going to every single like local health department, not just in like US states, but every single country and a lot of breakdowns of those, too. So it's a lot of work. I can talk about that later. But so I have all this information and what's cool about it is it actually updates a lot faster than anything else I've seen because now it's pretty easy to gather coronavirus data. You can just find some API out there and just gather all the information. But my site is one of the unique ones that is still going straight to the source and not using any APIs because when I made my site, there were no APIs to use. And just to clarify also, an API is like a way to get data, like numbers, something like that from an external source, like into your own like coding kind of stuff. And there was this, I was reading the New York Times one day, and there was this quote they were talking about. There was this an article about how the CDC is slow at adopting new technology. And there was this quote I thought that was really cool by the CDC. And they were like, they were mortified that some Seattle teenager was able to update coronavirus data faster than the agency. And I thought that quote was just really cool. Like, one day I'll frame it. But it's just cool because I'm able to update coronavirus information faster than my own government. And it's even been faster than the World Health Organization. I have all kinds of crazy, you know, PDF readers, you name it, all kinds of stuff. And every few minutes, it automatically updates the numbers. And I've been doing that for literally over a year now, which is crazy.
Yeah, that's amazing. And honestly, they should just have you make their slides already.
The White House actually updated their site and they made it look kind of fancy now. But
yeah, I saw that too.
Yeah, yeah, no,
maybe they were inspired by you. They were like the Seattle teens making better sites than
they even have dark mode, which is crazy. But anyways, so most government sites are pretty terrible. I think that especially in 2021 now, you know, it should be easy to get the information you need on big global events like this. But when I made my site, absolutely was not easy. So.
Yeah. And it sounds like there's a lot of things that are like went into the creation of the site, like the 240 individual web scrapers. That's super impressive.
Yeah.
So could you just tell us a little bit more about what actually went into the programming behind the site?
Yeah. So, I mean, when I started the site, there weren't 240 web scrapers. That is now because there's so many new countries. When I first started my site, I was only tracking China because that was really the only place that was infected. And then I was slowly branching out to now there's other countries in Asia. Like when I started my site, it was very far from the United States. Like it was actually kind of scary. The first case in the United States was in Washington State where I live, pretty close. And that was kind of crazy. And I actually even caught coronavirus myself in November, I think, of last year. And to make a site and then to eventually have it like you catch that virus is just crazy. But so I started the site and it was popular in Asia. And the way I programmed it is honestly pretty simple. Now I know how to use more fancy things that some people listening may not have heard of, like Reactor, different frameworks like that for making websites that are very popular. But when I started the site, I really didn't know how to use that stuff. So to be honest, the way I coded it is relatively simple. There's Node.js, which is JavaScript for the backend. And then I have that like basically is all the web scrapers that goes to the things, because I didn't want it so that every time you visit a website, every time you visit my site, I don't want to run the web scrapers on all the other countries' government sites, because the amount of traffic my site gets will just take down those government sites. So what I do is every like, let's say 5 minutes or so, I have the backend of my site, download the latest data using web scraping technology, save it in the backend. And then every time you like visit my site, it just pulls the information from the backend, and that takes the load off the government sites and just puts the load on my servers instead, which is a much better way to do it. The way it works is something called a cron job, which is just a way to automate things every like certain amount of time. So that works really well. And other than that, I guess the front end is all like custom CSS, nothing fancy really at all. I guess I use Bootstrap for some things like the nav bar. One thing that's also interesting about the site, so like my site is, at least when I first made it, was relatively simple to program. You could take any developer at Microsoft or Google, and I'm sure they could figure out how to code my site pretty fast. It wouldn't take them that long. And I've got a lot of comments and things like, why is this site so popular? Why is this all these media attention for a site that's, you know, not like some groundbreaking new technology? And they say like, oh, it's so simple, I could have done that. And so the only thing I would say then, okay, then why didn't you do it? It's not that my site is hard to program. I only watched YouTube videos. I didn't go to college or pay for any expensive boot camps to learn how to code. All I did was just figure it out by, you know, being in Discord communities on web developer stuff and asking questions and all that kind of stuff. You just figure it out as you go along. Eventually was able to cobble up a site, posted it. And it, you know, anyone can really do that, in my opinion. And so it's more about taking the initiative to actually make something like this in the first place, rather than being some genius programmer, which I'm very far from.
Yeah, and I definitely agree. I feel like if people are saying that they could have done it, then they should have done it and just did it, because yeah, your website was like the first one and it's definitely one of the largest. So that's super impressive already.
I know, it's more about just having the idea in the first place. You could watch YouTube tutorials and search online on Stack Overflow or whatever and figure out, in the, I don't know, if you're starting from scratch in a couple months even. Yeah, you can learn anything online. That was actually, last year I won the Webby Awards for 2020. And they told me to come up with a 5-word speech. And I chose
five words.
Yeah, I know, 5 words. It's like their thing.
Wow.
And I chose you can learn anything online. And I think that's a pretty good little speech right there, because you know these days there's so many great you can learn anything online, from underwater basket weaving to competitive programming. Like there are so many resources on places like YouTube. Like every minute there's like 300 hours of video uploaded to YouTube or something crazy like that, and a decent amount of that is educational resources. There's a lot of like good information on that, and there's places like Khan Academy. There's this really good thing for coding on YouTube called Free Code Academy. They have like amazing tutorials on like real world things, like let's say you want to learn React. Here's a 14-hour long tutorial with no ads, everything you need to know to learn React. You can learn it all, like, you know, watch 30 minutes of that every night on your computer, and within a couple of weeks, bam, you know how to use React. Rather than paying $20,000 for like some crazy boot camp or something like that. I mean, any like elementary, I watched these kind of things in like elementary school and figured out how to do these kind of stuff. It wasn't that long ago, really. I mean, I'm like done with high school now, but like this stuff has existed for a long time. And as I said, like every minute, so many more of these educational resources are being uploaded. And it's only going to get better and better. And every time there's some crazy new technology, you can learn that online. You really can learn anything online, except, you know, I wouldn't really want my doctors to be like learning online.
Just like, yeah, I just watched a YouTube video. I can definitely diagnose you right now. It's no problem.
That would be kind of weird. But yeah, you can learn anything online.
Yeah, that's, I definitely agree. I think there's so many things that you can find on YouTube just by searching things. And not, I guess not everything you have to learn through like an institution or a school.
Yeah, not at all. You can even earn degrees online these days. Like there's a lot of, there's like online entirety school. I mean, everyone these days is doing Zoom schools anyway.
That's true. That's really true.
Of learning online.
Yeah, it's not that different anymore.
Yeah. It's basically the same. It's an unpausable YouTube video.
Also, how long did it take for you to learn all of this? I guess you already had experience, but how long did it take for you to kind of create the site and code it from like scratch to finish?
Yeah, the first version of the site really only took me a couple of days. Really didn't take me that long to make. Although I would say that to make my site was kind of the culmination of doing programming stuff for so long. Like I've known what a variable is and how it works for quite a long time by now. So that definitely helped. But, you know, starting from scratch, you could definitely make a site like mine in, I don't know, month. I really, it depends how like much time you spend actually learning how to program, but I'm not using any like math or anything like that. I feel like computer science is kind of different than like real world software engineering kind of things. Maybe if you're doing like, you know, coding an operating system at Microsoft or something like that, sure, that's a bit different. But like, let's say Airbnb or something like that, the majority of the developers there are working on things like the front end and, you know, making the buttons green or blue or something like that. And that doesn't require that, you know, calculus or anything like that. I've never taken calculus. I'm terrible at math, but I can code a massive website like this and many more. A lot of real world programming, unless you're going to be doing machine learning, all that kind of stuff, you don't need to be a master at school or anything. So, yeah, it only took me a couple of days really to finish the first version.
That's super impressive. But yeah, I guess learning, I guess actually learning that programming knowledge doesn't really take anything super complicated. Like you said, a lot of that stuff can also be learned, like self-learned online.
Yeah. There was for a while too. I mean, I was in school still when I made the first version of the site, and it was really speeding up. Like I started my site when there was, I think it was around like 20 to 50 cases or something. And now there's like over 100 million, but these cases were like, I think when I finished the site, there were like 2000 cases or something like that. It had accelerated from like 50 to 2000 just when I was coding the site in like those few days. That was crazy. And so many different countries were getting infected, which means I have to code new web scrapers. I didn't have 240 individual scrapers when I started the site in January of last year. So, you know, every time there were new countries getting infected or all that kind of stuff, have to change the site. Eventually, you know, I added things like a wiki page and a map and all kinds of stuff to just go along. And these days I'm working on a vaccine tracker too. It's kind of hard to get the information though, harder than cable. But hopefully I can have that done soon too. And I've been able to add information like there's per million numbers now too, which I think are a good way to distinguish how well different countries are doing. Let's say, I don't know, pick two countries, France and England. I don't know their population, but let's say they're the same. But let's say England has a lot more cases than France. You can tell by their like per mil, like cases per million, that let's say England is doing far worse than France. You can, it's just extra information like that that I'm able to provide that is really helpful to not just like epidemiologists, but just regular people wanting to see how, you know, like I think one thing that's really cool about my site is that you don't have to go to multiple different websites to get the information for all the countries. If you're a mom and you have a son in India and a daughter in, I don't know, Bangladesh, it's all like in one place. You don't have to go to three different scraper or sites to get all that information. And then even on my site, I have it so you can favorite countries or states or anything like that, like star you can click, and then it will just show up like the first thing you see when you go to the site. And it's, there are people, I've talked to a lot of people that use the site and it's literally like crack to them. Like they use it like Facebook. They check it when they wake up. They check it all the time. These days it's not as, to be honest, like interesting to see like, oh, look, France is 10,000 new cases, whatever. But like back then when I started the site, there was like, you know, it'd go from, oh my God, there's the first case in France. Now there's 100 cases in France. Like it was crazy to look at it back then. I was checking my site all the time. And it worked all automatically too, which was pretty stressed because like while I'm sleeping, it's daytime in, I don't know, Africa or something like that. And the site has to be working, you know, perfectly 24/7. And a lot of people that use this site have no idea it's being run by some teenager in his bedroom, like a Ferrari poster behind them. Probably like a, but I've had a lot of people messaging me that I had no idea it was some 17-year-old. I mean, I'm 18 now, but and so that was definitely a lot of like pressure and stress, especially as the site grew. Like I think my peak was maybe late March. I had around 36 million visitors in a single day. That's a lot of traffic and a, like just a lot of pressure too. There's so much media attention, you know, in one day, you know, on the Daily Show, BBC, this, that, you name it. And it's a lot of pressure to keep the site working perfectly. And there were many times, many times where there're just things like there were bugs in the code, things stopped working. I am no professional programmer. Like I said earlier, I'm just a kid and I have to figure it out all as I went along. There were many times where I'd wake up and, oh my God, a single country stopped working, or maybe the site's like just a white page and it just says undefined in the corner. I'm like, oh my God, what do I do? And I wake up and I have hundreds of messages, thousands even sometimes, check my email, check Twitter, Instagram. Like there are literally times and people think that like the government has got me, or like I've died or I'm sick. No. I've had people like reply to like random old Instagram pictures on my account and be like, Avi, your website's not working.
Yeah, I know.
There was one time where someone called my mom's work to ask why my website wasn't working. She's like a doctor and everything. And they're like, oh, I don't know how they even found that. But like, people will go to great lengths when the site's not working. And a lot of pressure to keep something like that working. But I haven't cracked yet. And the peak has far been over. So I'm glad I was able to keep the site working. And it still works and updates today. It's been a lot of work.
Yeah, that's great to hear.
Mm-hmm. A lot of work behind the curtains to keep it working. But we're still here.
So. Yay. Yeah, super glad that it's still there for anyone who's still looking at that. I bet, like you mentioned, there's some people that probably check it daily or like check it so often.
Not much anymore, maybe every couple days, just to make sure it keeps working and everything. Mm. But yeah, it's still a good resource to a lot of people. And like I said, I'm working on adding vaccine numbers, which I think people will really like, just to see how the world is doing. It's pretty interesting to look at. But yeah.
Yeah, and I think like 36 million visitors a day. Obviously, you've been able to like impact so many people.
Learning how to scale servers to that size too is quite a learning experience. A lot of things like this you can't learn. Like you have to learn by really doing that and being in the moment. There's not like a YouTube tutorial that's going to tell you what to do at 3 a.m. in the morning when the site is not working and you have no idea why. You just kind of have to figure that stuff out in the moment when you're working on it. Right, so like... Yeah, it's been a learning experience for many of these things, but it's been great. Now, like if I'm applying for a job or something and like they're asked, can you handle to make like a simple website? I think I can handle that.
Yeah, like you can just be like, oh yeah, I built a website with like 30 million visitors at its peak. Like no big deal, but yeah, that's me.
It's been quite a learning experience.
Yeah. I think it's great how you're able to learn all of that through building the site. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I guess it sounds super stressful when things go wrong, but like obviously it's still up right now. So you've been able to overcome some major hurdles.
Thankfully.
But what have you been working on now? Are you still working on like you mentioned, the vaccine tracker? Or I also heard you're making other websites for other causes as well.
Yeah. So like I'll talk about this more in a bit, but I made the 2020 protest site and an election site. So those were like three websites I made in 2020. What I want to do next is more than just like websites. I'm learning a lot about like whole startups and everything like that. But immediately, I spent a lot of time working on college applications. I applied to like 17 schools, which took a long time to write essays and all that nonsense. Yeah. But anyways, I'm done with that now and I'm waiting on decisions, which will come back in mid-March, early April, whatever. So that was what I was working on for a long time. And, you know, these days just kind of doing whatever, thinking about new ideas to work on, trying to think of cool things. I have so many ideas, but like I never really finish things. Like it's a miracle I actually finished the COVID site. There's so many like unfinished projects I have. It's just like you work on something and halfway through you just don't have the motivation to continue. I think of a better way to do things, or I've learned how to do things better by then. Like so many ideas. If I finished like every single idea that I had in mind, like I'd be a trillionaire by now. Like there's so many. I just gotta like actually finish things. So and there are so many other things. Like why just share like a small sliver of the educational resources when you could share like all of it? So I thought that I could make something interesting for that. And for this project too, I wanted to work with other people, not just me. I wanted to like share the spotlight. So I found all these teenagers to work with. They're from all over the world. And I made this site called 2020 Protests. I mean, these students were from like Korea, India, United States, like you name it, all kinds of places. I think it was like 20 of them. And I made this site to track all 50 states. And I had information like where and when are the upcoming protests? Is there a curfew? All just tons of information. And I had like educational resources too. So I had like all that information all in one place. And instead of posting one small thing onto Instagram, you could post one large thing that included all the information. So especially if you have a lot of followers from all over the United States, let's say you're just some kind of influencer, posting something like that is a lot more helpful than rather than just here's just Seattle. Like what if you live in another city in Washington State, like Everett or something like that? That's not very helpful for you. So it was pretty cool to work on. And then later then I wanted to make something for the election. I noticed that I didn't really know what I was voting for, and I felt like it was kind of hard to find like what are you really voting for. So I made a site comparing the issues and stances of Trump versus Biden for the 2020 elections, and that was a pretty cool thing to work on as well. And those were like the three main websites I made. I felt like I covered pretty much most of 2020 there. Like,
I was just about to say, you're really like getting ahead of the curve and
even
every aspect
that,
as well.
Before I started the COVID site, I was working on a website and like an app to track the Australian bushfires and like California fires.
You're really predicting the future here. You're out here.
You know, like that's one of the, like if you're someone that wants to make something and have it be popular, like look what's happening in the world. Just pay attention to the news and makes it like if I had made a website about Lego, you know, we wouldn't really be talking right now. But because I made a site on COVID and what are we experiencing like COVID, you know, there's protests going on, make a website about protests. There's an earthquake, make some kind of earthquake site. I don't know. Like there's always something happening in the world, always something. There's always going to be another earthquake. There's going to be another pandemic. And hopefully there's some other kid making some COVID tracking, not COVID, but
the next,
you know, all kinds of things like that. If you're a kid out there and you want to try and make something, you don't have to be literally anyone, just like pay attention to what's going on. And I'm sure you'll find something. You know, pay attention in your daily life. What is problems that you find yourself going into? What do you think could be done better? This and that, and you'll come up with ideas. It's just how you do things.
Like just like being aware of problems that are going on, and then trying to actually solve those problems. I guess even being the first one to just try to tackle a problem. I think you've obviously been able to do that very well. I also heard that you mentioned branching out and looking at like startups, but where do you see yourself going in the future?
Yeah, I mean, I could talk for hours and hours about the stuff I really want to do when I'm now, I guess, but I'm slowly working on it. Everything's a stepping stone, but I'd like to learn a lot more about startups and internet related like companies I can make in the next short term, because I feel like my COVID site, I can make something in my bedroom that ends up being worth so much money, and you can make such a large, make social networks, all kinds of just big things, all from, you know, without having to actually work with physical products and all that kind of stuff. And that I feel is an easy way to gain experience in working on companies and startups and, you know, learning how to raise venture capital and this and that, all those things you need to learn, you know, pitching to investors. I'm learning a lot about that these days and trying to just think of like something to make and just learn that experience, try and grow a company. But in the much longer term, I'm like, I could talk for hours about it, but I'm interested. Like, I think vertical farming is really cool. I think space is going to open up so many opportunities. But like the number one thing I'm interested in is definitely like cybernetics and more like consumer cybernetics. I think that stuff, it's a pretty broad term. It just means like let's say, okay, it's kind of futuristic kind of talking about like bionic eyes or third arms or playing video games with your mind, all these kinds of things, which will happen. Anyway, so cybernetics is going to be really cool. And right now this technology is being used to for like medical devices. Like some simple versions of this are like, if you have diabetes, a lot of people that have insulin pumps or all these kinds of things that measure their their blood sugar, or there are, you know, people with epilepsy, it's working on, you know, like helping control their seizures with sending electrical signals to your brain, all these kinds of things. But there's so much that you can do when you can read and write to your brain. Like, we will be able to do insane things. Like, I'm sure you've heard of companies like Neuralink, and that's cool. No, I feel like by the time I'm ready to make a company like that, Neuralink and these things will have done a lot of the hard work. Right now, it's not really consumer level. Like, you know, there are a lot of places working on like artificial eyes for people who are blind or all these kinds of things, right? But I think there'll be a point when if these eyes are all like, if we're being able to make these eyes, then what if you're like, I want those eyes too, and I don't necessarily have a disability. If I can see two times as far or something crazy like that would be really cool. And I think that'll be a really, really big shift in literally everything. Reading and writing to the brain, like there's so many, like every little thing you can think about could possibly be impacted by this. Let's say like you're tasting food. That's like really, the taste of that is just electrical signals in your brain. Like, what does pizza taste like, or something, a lollipop, or right? And if you could artificially, you know, write that to your brain, which is very early stages of doing that and will only get better. Like, this kind of technology is like what computers were in like the, not even in like the 40s, okay? Like World War II level here. And it's gonna be better and better. And you'll be able to just like, let's say eating food, like scan a QR code and that makes your food taste like lollipops. That sounds very dystopian. And I think there's a lot of things that will happen about this that won't be necessarily good. When you have technology like this that has such a high impact, there's also a massive negative impact, like everything from the internet to Facebook. There's so many positive things that have happened, you know, rare diseases. You can find Facebook groups of other people with rare diseases, but Facebook at the same time, you know, causes genocides in other countries or something like that. So with cybernetics, I also see there's a lot of possibilities for richer people to just be better humans than poorer people in a way. Like they can 3D print their organs and, you know, have eyes that see two times as far and gene edit their brains and all kinds of things. There's so many possibilities for this stuff. And I think that's going to be a really big issue. Like there will be some protests in, let's say, 2100 about like, you know, give us all strong arms with, you know, titanium tendons or something like that. Like this stuff sounds really futuristic right now, but it totally is possible. And there's many different things like Neuralink, but even real things that exist today, like there's something called a Utah array, which is like a very basic version of this kind of stuff. But anyways, going back to like the ethics of all these kinds of things, I think Sohn will make these cybernetic companies, whether I exist or not, but I'd like to work on them. And in college, I also want to learn a lot of things related to like the ethics of having technology like this and all this kind of stuff, so that if I am running a massive cybernetics company, I think it's very, very, very important to keep it very ethical and to keep it from becoming like, you know, where rich people are literally just better humans. That will cause many issues in society. And I hope that if I'm working on a big company like that, I can keep a lot of these big issues in mind and keep a company like that, you know, positive, at least making the positive impact a lot stronger. Like I said, I can go on for hours and hours about that. I hope that I'm able to be some kind of, you know, creating these kind of big companies or something like that in the future. I don't really care, like I'm saying company is kind of weird. I'm really not that interested in like profits and making money and everything. That is a major part to making things successful and growing a big company. But overall, like I'm not very interested in having a fancier tombstone in a graveyard. I'm still dead. I'm more interested in just making like really massive things. Like if I had $100 million right now, I'd use like 1% so that I could just like live. But I have no care at all about buying any yachts or anything like that. That's just not interesting to me. I'd invest 99% of it into, you know, my next company is in starting things like a Neuralink kind of company. You can't just start that really in your bedroom. You know, you need money and like connections and all that kind of stuff, which I'm slowly working towards. Everything is just a stepping stone. Like this COVID site, I've been able to meet so many cool people. And now I have so many connections to everyone from Dr. Fauci to venture capitalists. And that'll be very, very helpful to, you know, whatever I make next. Learning about startup things, just all these kind of things. It's just like getting your foot in the doors is the most valuable thing these days. Just the people you know. You don't even like, you don't have to be a genius programmer, but if you know like all these cool people and everything, you can make just massive stuff. But yeah, so that's what I hope I'm able to do. We'll see. I have no idea what I'll work on. I could be
that's incredible.
20 for all I know. Like I have no idea. But I hope that in college too, I can see what all kinds of just, you know, cutting edge technologies, all these kinds of things are happening around the world. So many of like vertical farming is something that is so cool. Like there's a startup called Plenty, and they were able to take like 400 acres of farmland into just 2 acres and use 95% less water and make fresher food. Cause like it impacts not just the climate. Like think about it. You don't have to have trucks driving 300 miles to the farms, bringing it back. It's a lot closer, which makes it so like you could have a skyscraper in a city that feeds the entire city all with vertical farming and all those kinds of technologies and stuff. And, you know, it has fresher food. You can have more kinds of cool food, like just so many benefits using these kinds of technologies. I think it'll be really cool. Interested in so many of that kind of stuff. What I'll actually do, no clue. I'm definitely interested. Just keeping my eye out for all these kind of cool stuff I want to work on. And my goal is that hopefully I can make enough money and everything by working on internet companies that I can do now, that I can use that money to then do my much bigger dreams. Like, cause like, you know, Elon Musk and everything, he started with Zip2, which was like an internet thing, to then have enough money to start something like Tesla or SpaceX. You can't just start building rockets if you have $0 and
you know,
in your parents' room, you know?
That's amazing. I think, all of these really amazing things that you mentioned, and it seems like you really want to like create a net positive with whatever you're working on and using like innovative technology to do that. I think it's really great that you're dreaming big and thinking of doing all these things already.
Hopefully I'll actually be able to do that, and hopefully one day you will not be able to avoid my name in the media. I'm more interested in making the internet than just making internet companies. Like I've actually talked to Tim Berners-Lee a lot. He's the guy that made the modern World Wide Web. That's just a random fact, I'm much more interested in having a much bigger impact on all those kinds of things. And overall, I think if you just have like a net positive impact to the world, I think you've lived a good life. You don't need to change the world in that sense and make something like Facebook or whatever. No, just saying more compliments than insults throughout your life, I think you've lived a net positive life, and that is overall, you know, good. I just would like to have the biggest, you know, net positive impact I guess I can have, if that even makes sense. But I'd like to work on all these things and try and make companies that are focused more on creating good products and, you know, making good technologies and keeping ethics and all these kinds of things in mind, rather than just another greedy business kind of thing. Not really that.
Yeah, definitely. And I can totally see you doing those things in the future. I'm sure you'll only go on to do even better things and even more amazing things. Yeah, for sure. And you're so young too. I can't wait to see where you head off into the future. And meeting the guy who created the World Wide Web, that's just...
I've met him many times. I'm doing like, there's the anniversary of the web is coming up soon, and I'm doing some event with him, which will be
pretty cool. Oh, wow.
And actually, I was like, I haven't really like reached out to anybody like since this, not really many people, but I was like, you know, it'd be kind of cool if I met Tim Berners-Lee. And so
it would have been cool.
Right. So I sent him an email, and then he actually replied, and he was like, oh my God, I'm such a huge fan of your COVID site. I'd love to chat. I was like, wow. Whoa, that's cool. Okay. I actually talked to him, which is like, you know, writing to your favorite author and then actually like having a Zoom call with him. I don't know.
That's incredible.
It's been cool.
Yeah, that's amazing. And like you said, like everything is a stepping stone, and getting your foot in the door is probably the most valuable thing you can do just to get started.
I made you mentioned at the start, I think that that's on a Wikipedia page or something, where I made 30 websites. I just made many things in the past. And while sure, no one has ever heard of some random video game I made in middle school, all that was just a stepping stone to eventually making my COVID site. My COVID site is just a stepping stone to eventually making a cybernetics company, all those kind of things. It's all valuable. Things that I coded in the coronavirus site were things that I learned to make video games or some mobile application about who knows what in elementary and middle school, all this kind of things is all valuable in some kind of way.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. And just the fact that like everything you do just compounds, like when you learn something, it just ends up adding up every small thing you do.
Yeah, and you know, it's not just programming too. Like everything is valuable in some way, just reading books. Like you can have some, you know, quotes people say from Star Wars or all those kind of things. Everything is valuable in some way. Like in math class, sure, you're probably never ever going to use these crazy calculations that you're learning how to do, but just learning how to think abstractly in that way is very helpful for many things you may be doing in the future. Maybe you're some machine learning programmer and the stuff you learned in history class, maybe it's helpful for something, I don't know. You know, everything has value in some ways, even if it's really simple. You just name your computer programming algorithm after Christopher Columbus or something like that. Everything has value in some way. I think looking at it that way is a much better way to live.
Yeah, it was great talking to you as well. I think that's a great place to wrap up. Just learning as much as you can. Just, I guess, trying to create that net positive impact on the world. But yeah, it was great, amazing talking, Avi. And I can't wait to see all the things you do in the future.
Thank you so much. Have a great night.
Yeah, you too. For those of you watching, make sure to check the summary notes for more information. And also I'll link down some websites that Avi's created in case you guys want to check that out. But also a newsletter if you want to subscribe and if you enjoyed this podcast to get notified every 2 weeks once another one comes out. But yeah, we'll see you guys in the next podcast.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Delta X Podcast with Ellen Hsu. If you learned something new and this podcast made you think, then share ITSPmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to associate your brand with our conversations, sponsor one or more of our podcast channels. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.